I'm currently reading a book that I bought several years ago. It's written by three different theologians, and it's the three different aspects, or and more properly, they taught the three different beliefs about baptism. There's credo baptism, which is from the Latin, I believe. So credo baptism is a believer's baptism. There's paedio, which comes from the Greek for children. They talk about sprinkling versus pouring versus immersion, and you know what happens at baptism. I'm pretty well set in what I believe. But I thought today, you know, I wanted to take a look at what the Bible says about baptism. The historian Hegesippus said, after the apostles and the elders they trained died, heresy started coming into the church by the handfuls. I'll just say it like that. They weren't there to stop it. If you want to read theologians and read through history, you can see a progressive advancement almost away from Scripture. And I've talked to you before about presupposition. Presupposition means I already believe this is what the Bible says and what it means. And if what the Bible says or what I read doesn't agree exactly with what I say, I'm going to try to make it fit what I believe. That's called presupposition. This morning we're looking at a text very familiar, especially if you're in the Church of Christ or Christian churches, and some of the disciples' church, Acts 2:38-39. I'll actually read past 39. I just didn't have it put up here on the PowerPoint. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it is truth. I know that your word does not come back to you void. And as we look at your word today, I pray, Father, that you will just take it to our hearts, reveal its truth to us. Help us, Lord, to have open ears to hear from you. Bless those who are here. Bless those who cannot be here. And bless this preaching of your word, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not familiar with the teachings of the Christian churches, we believe in baptism by immersion only. We do not recognize pouring or sprinkling. Some people say that's pretty arrogant. The word used to baptize means to fully immerse, to plunge underwater. The Greek verb that baptizo comes from, that's the word Peter used when he said be baptized. The Greek word bapto is used in reference to the sinking of a ship or the drowning of someone. So when the word baptizo is used, the act of it, it does mean to fully immerse. And I'm not going to spend my time, you know, defending that. I'm just saying what we're doing is looking at the Bible, and theologians call this a linguistic point or argument. What does the language say? Peter said, be immersed. So we in the Christian churches, churches of Christ, we hold that that's the way we're to be baptized. Most people don't have a problem with that. The problem they have is when the scriptures say for the forgiveness of sins. Oh, that's baptismal regeneration. Well, infant baptism to me is baptismal regeneration, because you're taking an innocent human being, dunking them in the water and saying, now they're a Christian. The kid has no say. That's baptismal regeneration. If that kind of baptism can save you, bless God, let's drag the sinners in here and we'll baptize them right and left and they'll go to heaven. Okay, but I want to make some points today out of this. I'm a credo Baptist, and no, I'm not a Baptist, but I mean that's where I stand. I stand on credo baptism. I believe. How many of you understand baptism is only for believers? It is only for believers. And the proof of this is, we didn't read the whole text for time's sake, but Peter has just preached a message. The Holy Spirit came upon him and the others, and the people are amazed and said, what's going on here? And Peter said, this fulfills what the prophet Joel said. He talked about that prophecy. And then he spent time saying, the Messiah came and you killed him. The promised Messiah. And he said he did all these miracles. He did all this teaching and preaching. And you murdered him. I want you to know that's what some people call a toe stomper. Peter stomped all over their feet. He was telling them that the Holy Spirit, the gift they saw, was evidence that this Jesus whom you killed, God raised from the dead on the third day. And he said, now he's seated at the right hand of God, and he's both Lord, and that Lord can also mean God, and Christ. Now, if you've read the second chapter of Acts, you're familiar with the response. What some of the crowd say? They're just drunk. Oh, they're just drunk. This was on the day of Pentecost, which is some 50 days after the Passover. Josephus said during the Passover that Jews came from all over the known world to celebrate that. It was a very holy day. Well, a lot of them stayed for the 50 days for the Pentecost. So there was a lot of Jews from every nation, known nation under the earth there to celebrate Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, takes his time to preach the gospel to them, the good news. But out of all those thousands of people, we could probably safely estimate at least 100,000. Say there was 100,000 people there listening to this message. How many responded? 3,000. Now, I believe in a believer's baptism, because they had to believe the message they heard. When Peter got done, he said, God has made this Jesus that you crucified, Lord and Christ, according to this text in Acts, 3,000 people said, what do we need to do? That's belief. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith. When was faith initiated? When they heard the message and it said they received it. And you know, this isn't the first time that baptism was practiced in the New Testament. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We call him John the Baptist. The Greek literally says John the Immerser or the Baptizer, because the method that John used. And it said, John came preaching a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I don't want to misquote that. You know, I've been in ministry almost 25 years. I've never had one church member, one Christian ever challenge that passage. You can talk about, well, John the Baptist baptized the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Amen. But if you say Christian baptism is to be done for the forgiveness of sin, I don't believe that. Well, you got a right not to believe that. I'm not here to cram this in your face. Okay, I believe it. You can say, I don't. That's fine. You and I can still get along. But what I'm trying to do is present an argument for you this morning, a text, and say, let's just look what the text says. I'm not the one that said it, so if it makes you angry, don't get mad at me. Peter said it. And the Holy Spirit told Peter to say it. So if you're going to get mad at Peter, then you got to get mad at the Holy Ghost, which means you're mad at the Lord. Peter said, repent. What does that mean? The Amplified Bible says, stop fighting against God and go with him. Now that's significant here because these people had shouted to Pilate, crucify this guy, away with him. He doesn't deserve to live. And Peter said, you know that Jesus that y'all crucified? Now you need to acknowledge that he's the Messiah. And you need to be baptized in his name. Now, how serious of a step was this for these people? Very. You remember in the scriptures it says that during the time of Jesus, the Pharisees had agreed if anyone confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, they were excommunicated. They were put out of the synagogue. They were heretics. So for these Jewish men and women to agree to submit to this, a lot of them were ostracized by their families. In that book I'm reading, he tells the one author tells about an Asian theologian he was speaking with. And he said, the theologian told him, in China, the adults are letting their young people go to Christian Bible studies and services. And that's as far as this guy knew. And he said, they're okay with that, but they warn them, don't be baptized. And he said, it's remarkable that the unbelievers realize the significance of baptism more than the believers did. Because they said, if you're baptized, that's a point of no return. What is baptism? Is it just being held underwater? Now, I said baptism is for a believer. You have to believe the gospel. Repentance, you turn your back on the old life and you turn your face to God. Then why do you need to be baptized? Because God said to. That's as simple as I can put it, church. You remember the baptism of John. What happened? The people heard John preaching. What'd they do? Those that believed said they came to John at the Jordan and they confessed their sins and they were baptized. What'd God do? He forgave them. And John, he said, don't just talk repentance, show it. You live a changed life. And later, Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees of his day because they refused to be baptized by John. He said, John came in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. Jesus was baptized by John. We remember that. We know that. When he came to John, John said, wait a minute, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? And Jesus said, we got to do this to fulfill all righteousness. What righteousness? It was God's command. So those who believe that John was preaching God's word, warning, it says they came to the Jordan, they confessed their sins, they were baptized by immersion, and God forgave them. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. And as I said, all the years I've been in ministry, I've never been in any church where they ever challenge that passage. But if we say, well, Christian baptism is part of the plan of salvation, boy, I've had people get in my face over that. It's by faith alone when you pray and ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your heart. Where do you find that in the Bible? You won't find it. Well, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter quoted that. in his message, whoever calls on the name of the Lord. And they said, what do we need to do? He didn't say, I just told you, just call on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord means to invoke the name of the Lord, and it means to say, what do I need to do? What do you want me to do? So here these people are that have, not all of them, but some of them had had a hand in crucifying the Messiah. He said, now you got to confess publicly that he is the Messiah, and you got to be baptized into his name. As I said, for them, that was a very big step. A very costly. I read in church history, especially in the first, second, and third century, when people in a church would say, I want to be baptized, the elders would get with them and say, are you sure about this? Do you understand that if you submit to baptism, that you could very well endanger yourself? Because it wasn't popular to be a Christian. Today, baptism's an afterthought. Well, you know, I know we got to do it, so I'll go ahead and do it. And do we really understand why? Why did God say to the Jews through the preaching of John, if you'll be baptized, I'll forgive you for your sins? I don't know, I'm not God. But all I know is God said, did it. Jesus supported it and was baptized. And he rebuked the scribes and Pharisees. He said, you didn't believe John. And when you saw tax collectors and prostitutes coming to John and being baptized and actually seeing him changing, you still didn't believe. What do we call that? Unbelief? Yeah, that was unbelief. So in order for anyone to be a candidate for baptism, you have to believe. You have to believe the gospel. Why is it that we don't have a problem believing that by saying this prayer, we become Christians? That's faith. If I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I ask him to come into my heart, he's going to come into my heart, he's going to forgive me for my sins, I'll receive the Holy Spirit, I'll be changed. That's faith. But why, when we throw a water baptism in there, people got a problem with that? Some people are afraid of water. I don't know how many people I've baptized in the last 25 years, but I ain't lost one yet. I promise you, if I baptize you, you will not drown. That ain't happened yet. My mother was afraid of water. She'd been sprinkled as an infant. And she started coming to this church when it was over there. She heard the gospel. She heard about baptism. And she knew she needed to be baptized. And I was standing right there. I was 10 years old when she told the preacher, I'm scared to death of water. I can't swim. I don't like having my face underwater. He said, I promise your face ain't going to be underwater very long. What happened? Mom believed. And they weren't doing any hammer-on messages. They just presented the gospel. They presented this to her. And mother starts saying, you know, I've never done that. My question is, why? Of course, I was 10 years old, so all I knew is what the Sunday school teacher taught me. So I said, Mom, if you don't do it, you're going to hell. You ever get a chance to tell your mother that she's going to hell, don't do it. You won't dig it. Yeah, you know, that was not well received. But that's all I knew to say. Why do we have a problem with that? And I'm saying we. Why do Christians have a problem with that? Well, it's because of what theologians have done over the years. Oh, well, if you believe that, that's baptismal regeneration. So you believe that you're not born again until you're baptized. You remember what we read Jesus said last week to Nicodemus? Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. One commentary I read said, oh, that was talking about the baptism of John. So they admit that the water was baptism, but that was John's baptism. No. Only Jesus was the only person that John ever baptized that received the Holy Spirit. Nobody else that John baptized received the Spirit. You remember in Ephesians, or in Ephesus in the book of Acts, Paul met 12 disciples in Ephesus. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit after you believed? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And he said, well, then what were you baptized into? Why did Paul ask that question? Because baptism was enjoined with making a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Every instant, every conversion in the book of Acts, except one, they were immediately baptized. Peter preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. What was his question? Here's water, what keeps me from being baptized? Cornelius, the centurion, was filled with the Spirit before baptism. Only instance. So don't use that. When I was in the Pentecostal church, I had people go, well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, then I was baptized. No, you weren't. That only happened once. And we know why. Peter went to the church at Jerusalem. They go, what are you doing eating with Gentiles and talking to them? He goes, well, when I was preaching, the Holy Spirit came on them, like he did with us. So what'd Peter say? Let's baptize these people. Every conversion you read about in Acts, baptism was immediately enjoined. And if you want to read early church history, the elders and the apostles taught that baptism was part of God's plan of salvation. Now, is it the water? It's the faith. It's the obedience. God says do it and you do it. Yeah, I'm not trying to stand up here and say, you know, the water I put in here comes out of a tap. And I can run it over my hands and pray for it. It don't make it holy. It's the obedience. Why do we believe that by faith we have to turn to Jesus Christ? By faith we have to pray to Jesus Christ. By faith we have to believe that he hears us. By faith we have to believe that he changes us. But we don't have to believe about the water baptism part. That's because of what different theologians have done over the centuries. They've made it insignificant. And I'm sorry, church, but a lot of times it's just our pride. Well, I don't see how that does anything. Can I explain it? No, I just know God says do it. God says do it. I want to read you a passage where I think the Apostle Paul does an excellent job of explaining what happens at baptism. This is Paul, so if you don't like it, write Paul a complaint letter. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So Paul said something very real happens at baptism. He goes on to say, what happens spiritually? Our old person is nailed to the cross with Jesus. And then we are raised to a new life in Christ. Jesus called that being born again. I think when Jesus said, whoever is not born of water and spirit, he was including baptism in it. And that's my opinion. You can disagree with me, and I'm fine. You're the one that will live with that, not me. And one of the strongest arguments I've had, and you've all heard this, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized. I had a guy told me that one time. He was so proud of himself. What do you got to say about that? I said, well, Jesus has the power to forgive sins. He forgave the sins of two people that he healed out loud. And he came under fire from the religious leaders. Who do you think you are to forgive sins? He has that power, doesn't he? This guy couldn't be baptized, could he? He was nailed to a tree. It was impossible. So I told this gentleman, if you find yourself nailed to a tree next to the Son of God and he says, you're forgiven, then don't worry about baptism. But I said, if the Spirit of God is telling you that you need to do this and you don't, then that's on your head when you stand before God. You can find letters of the early church fathers, copies, and read it for yourself. They did not preach conversion without preaching baptism. It was part of it. Baptism is for you to make a statement, I am going to lay my life down, I'm going to die to my old person, and I'm going to live to Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded it. Remember what he said to his church? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now you go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. Now I'm going to say this, and please don't get offended. Us restoration churches, we got the baptize them down part good. You need to be baptized. Where we fail is the teaching. But we're not the only ones. I've known a lot of ministers and talked to that all admit to me our church fails, sadly fails, when it comes to teaching. So it's not a one-time thing that you do and you're in like Flynn, you're good. To follow Jesus Christ is a commitment you have to make. Nobody can do that for you. We read in the scriptures, they believed what they heard, they obeyed what they heard. And Peter said, then you will receive the Holy Spirit. But then it's a lifetime of learning. It's a lifetime of growing in Christ. It's a lifetime of allowing the Holy Spirit to develop you into the person that he wants you to be. Don't let somebody tell you that it's not important. Well, I just don't believe it saves me. That's fine. It's not the water that saves you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And I had a guy very smugly tell me that once. And I said, but when's the blood applied? Well, I believe it's when you say the prayer. I said, where is that in the Bible? Well, I can't think of where it is. I said, because it's not there. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to every person's heart when they obey. Please don't get your nose out of joint with me. You, like I said, you can walk out there and say, Rick's an idiot. I disagree. He's a legalist. I'm okay with that. I hope we can still fellowship. But I'm saying, why should we have a problem with what the Word of God teaches us? I don't understand that. All I can think of is, as I read theologians and the things through the centuries, it just seems they get farther and farther and farther away from the truth. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I love you so much. I love these people. I know that you love them. And Lord, I know that your word does exactly what you send it out to do. I pray that you will open our ears to hear from you. Oh, Father God, take your truth to our hearts. Tell us what you would have us to do. I pray for revival in this church, Lord. But it won't come till we get honest, till we get serious before you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That you will convict us of the truth. That you will fill our hearts with the love of God, that we can truly love others. Lord, just show us what we need to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.